Talk about things. I'm Chris. I'm Jazz Sequence on the internet. With me, as always, is Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet in that direction. And Allison, who's Allison Plus on the internet. Here we are. And I will guiltily admit that we broke quarantine by going camping over the weekend.
Did you do this camping outside, or did you do it in like a...
No, it was outside at an actual campground, and we thought it was going to be a lot more spread out than it was, and it wasn't. Oh. And it was Memorial Day weekend, because that was also the weekend that my sister-in-law's birthday fell on.
Oh, right.
And there's a lot of people, and no one was wearing masks, and so we were just sort of riding with the recent discoveries, I guess, or results or studies that have shown that no or almost no COVID cases happened from people who were outdoors. So we're kind of banking on that because nobody was wearing masks. That's how it rolls. We wore masks the first day, and then, didn't last. Didn't stick. And it was weird.
I get it.
It was weird, too, like, because I had to, because I was coming back into, because we were only, like, an hour away. So I was coming back to, like, feed the cats and stuff, and I had to go to the grocery store. So it was weird, like, being somewhere where nobody was wearing a mask, and then go to the grocery store where everyone is wearing masks and seeing people wearing masks around the street. And it was an odd thing. And now, like for a few days, we like the virus didn't exist, and now we're back, and now the virus exists again.
Yeah. Was it nice to have that, like, camping for you, though?
Yeah.
Oh my word. Holy cow.
Here we are. The tour of Gary's house. So yeah, who knows? Hopefully everything's fine.
I'm sure it is. If not, you will have tested the system.
Yeah.
You're like the raptor in Jurassic Park that tests for weaknesses on the fence.
Yeah.
We all know how that
turns. Yeah. Into the raptor.
I went to the grocery store last night and came out to the van and realized there was no hand sanitizer in the van after buying a small amount of groceries before Rhonda left town. Usually Saturday's our big grocery day. Mm-hmm. But we can't do that this week because Rhonda will be gone and I'm not taking the kids, obviously, to the grocery store. So, all right. Well, stopgap Thursday through Monday. And I don't know. People were well-behaved, but then I got back out to the car and, like, there was that, oh, no, there's no sanitizer. What do I do? And then I'm like I had already, like, unhooked my mask. So I'm like, now I don't want to use these contaminated hands to put my mask back on. So I drove home with it dangling off of one. It was, you know, the brain is a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. You live in an imperfect world.
That's it.
Yeah, there
That's
were definitely so, moments. There are definitely moments over the weekend and coming back where, like, I'm like, well, we're going with it. Subtitle, Chris stares at his hand for several minutes. For those of you who were not seeing the video.
I lost Zoom. Dang. Oh. I also think I had a bit too much coffee this morning.
It's kind of got me a
little jittery. Yeah. I looked at the coffee pot. I brewed enough for what Ron and I typically drink. She took her to-go mug. I finished my regular amount of coffee and there was still some in there. I'm like, well, I don't know what the logic was. You can't take it with you. I'm not sure. Like, it's coffee. It's not like it's expensive. Like, it's, I diluted like roasted beans and hot water. I mean, like, what are we talking here? A nickel, if that? So I drank it and I could tell.
Really? Was it like a half a cup or no?
No, it was like almost another full mug.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was really, picturing like the dregs and I was like, I don't think that's going to make the difference.
No, it was like, I usually have two mugs of coffee, but like not to the top. Like it's probably like a mug and a half if we're being honest, you know? So this was like, maybe this was like Gary thinking, maybe if I drink this now when I make coffee tomorrow, I won't have to clean as much. I don't know, but I poured it and then I drank it.
As I was drinking it, I'm going.
So I do have news that I didn't announce a while ago. This is from, almost a month ago now, because it's the beginning of the month. According to Apple Podcasts expansion, Apple Podcasts, I got an email saying, "Dear podcast creator, Apple Podcasts is now available in many 20 additional territories throughout Africa, Asia, Pacific, Europe, Latin America, the Middle East, and Oceania. So you can now subscribe to our podcast in Afghanistan, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Democratic Republic of the Congo, all sorts of places. I didn't even know that we were in like the normal places, but apparently we are. The entire catalog of over 1 million shows in more than 100 languages is now available in 175 countries or regions. So you can listen to us anywhere, basically.
So a million shows. Do you think our funky binary numbering is throwing off their count?
No. I do not think Apple is that naive.
That's probably fair. I just... You know, maybe they're like, well, over a million shows. This is fantastic. And then realistically, it was like us and one other show. So maybe like, you know, a couple hundred episodes.
No, I think.
Y'all, it is so hot out. It's amazing.
I think they were probably going off of actual files. So now I can delete that email. Because that email was waiting for me to announce it on the show.
I lost two kids in that time I was outside. Not off to a good start. Okay, we're good. They're still here.
This is just a glimpse of your normal chaos. This is fine.
I will say I don't think I talked about it, but Alanis Morissette is postponed. Alanis Morissette and Garbage and Liz Phair.
I think that we should probably say something like, "Isn't that ironic?"
Oh, no.
Completely misuse the...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself, Chris.
No.
I actually had a music reference that made sense for the first time in 3 years, so I was going for it, man.
I'm bummed out for something that I didn't have tickets to.
Well, it's possible if it comes around again that there will be more opportunities for tickets.
Yeah. Well, no, my plan was is that, like, closer in, I was going to, like, keep my eye out and all that.
For, like, scalps or...
Yeah. Always shifting that happens, but
yeah,
I'll have to do that next year.
Yeah, I think it's tentatively planned for next summer or something.
And I'm just hoping that Garbage will tour on their own anyway. So
yeah, it's hard to think about this post, like, this going out into the world, like what next year is going to look like when all you're seeing is the inside of your room.
Yeah.
I mean, I even like camping was very confined to like, you know, a specific area. I wasn't really out in the world either. Like,
yeah, we were putting off getting Nick Cave tickets for various reasons. And then we're like, should we even get tickets? Because it'll likely be canceled. But even if it doesn't, do we really want to go to an arena?
Right.
Like,
I love that you ask that question, because I think that there's like this, the media, right, has this propensity to put out this like equivalency in positions, and there are dumb people out there that are maskless. I was going to say I apologize for calling them dumb, but no, I don't. There are dumb people out there maskless making selfish decisions, and
I think by and large that realistically, based on my like conversations with people, is a large minority. And I think a very visible minority of people, you know, even in Jacksonville, which is pretty red. I don't know. I feel like this concept of like, oh, we're going to reopen everything is just cool. Who's going to show up? Right. Like, I think there's a real human thing to be like, no, I'm not cool being in crowds yet.
So there's a concert scheduled for Saturday in Tooele County. So there's this concert. It's specifically like to protest COVID restrictions. And originally it was going to be in this town called Kaysville, which is kind of rural. And it's like this country music star that I don't know. And they're going to invite all these businesses that have been like hit hard by, things shutting down, and they're going to have masks and they're going to enforce social distancing. But and the mayor approved of this thing, even though it violated state and county restrictions, and she got shot down by the city council. And the city council issued a whatever it's called when you disagree with somebody but you do it officially, dissent or whatever. And then they also said
a strongly worded letter.
Yeah, they also said that they would cut off power and turn on the sprinklers during the concert if it went through. So the concert organizer left and found another place, which is now closer to Salt Lake City because Tooele is like maybe 30, 40 minutes away, in a town called Grantsville, and there is this arena there that apparently can seat up to 100,000 people, and it's scheduled for Friday or Saturday, this Saturday at 5 p.m., and they're going through with it, even though Tooele County has said, no, this is illegal and we're going to like do things, but they haven't specified what things. The venue owner and the concert organizer are both like gung-ho, they're going to do it anyway. So I will tell you exactly how this this conflict between people deciding to open things up and not will run out, because we kind of have a social experiment happening in Utah right now. And it will be concluded one way or the other this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see how it turns out.
I get like the argument people are saying, like, well, you can't infringe your right to gather. Like, okay, fine. I mean, you're absolutely right. But you're a dumbass is like the part that I think is lost in trying to have a civil conversation.
Well, because you can't really have a civil conversation where you're a dumbass as part of it. It's not, it then degrades below civilized. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. But I'm not changing my position on this. Also, I need to prioritize the internet on this computer because it's laggy right now.
Get your priorities straight, Gary.
I don't know. I've had so much tech problems in the last few weeks, and oh, this is cool. According to Google, there are no devices on my network right now.
Cool.
So
yeah.
So unlike me, where there's like three of me, you just don't exist.
There's only one of you now.
This is the wrong time for me to deal with that.
Thank goodness there's only one of me. I can only handle, I can barely handle.
Oh, I was bringing a topic this week. Haha. I have a topic.
I was going to ask, because I have one up my sleeve just
in case. No, I have one. I have one. I was going to bring a topic. I have a topic. The topic for the day is pince-nez.
Ooh.
Oh, I see why. The kids are downloading TV shows.
Could you spell it?
Yes, I can. Let me find my tab that has it. It is
welcome to my world.
It is spelled P-I-N-C-E-N-E-Z, pince-nez.
P-I-N-C-E?
Yes, it's spelled pince-nez, but you say it pince-nez.
Is it French?
Yeah, that would be a relatively good suggestion. Yeah.
That would be a relatively dumb question, is where I thought you were going with that. Well, it was for confirmation.
This topic came up in my world because I'm now in a post-Critical Role world, and I'm trying to find other things to watch and or listen to, and so this came as a result of watching other shit.
This is a Creole dish, some kind of food. I'm hungry already. With rice.
As soon as you mentioned it, I was like, he's just hungry.
That's it. That's every episode now. Oh, we haven't recorded in 3 weeks? Gary's hungry.
Gary's hungry.
But like something something with rice, it's vegetarian, for sure.
For sure.
But it has that dash of cardamom, right?
Mm. Yeah. Why not?
I think I actually know what this is.
Oh.
I would not be shocked.
But I do like the idea of a Creole dish with just like a dash of cardamom in it to like mess up all the other spices that are generally.
You said that and I thought about what that would taste like, and I thought, maybe I don't know what cardamom tastes like. But now that you say that, like, okay, the unsettled feeling that I had was appropriate.
Yeah, no. I mean,
thank
like sometimes
you for clarifying.
I love cardamom and I love adding it to things, but I don't know if a Creole situation would be the appropriate.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, so what do you think that you know it is?
I think
can't communicate.
It's like, and I'm I'm either horribly wrong, but that's okay. I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's like a steampunk, well, this is like my knowledge of it, is like a steampunky, like when they have like, how do you explain it? It's like two monocles, but no like no things, and it just like perches and like pinches.
Right. So those of us that aren't steampunkers would obviously remember this as the sunglasses from the Matrix that
I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to describe. I don't know.
But not sunglasses in this case. What is his name?
Morpheus.
Morpheus, but the actor is
Fishburne? Denzel, yeah, Lawrence Fishburne.
Fishburne, it is Fishburne.
Yeah.
I was thinking Fishburt, and I knew that wasn't it, so I didn't want to blurt that out. And I didn't have the Lawrence at all. I was like, somebody Bert, Fishburt.
Bert Fishburt.
So two things. One, the reason why I know it's Lawrence Fishburne is because Lawrence and then Fishburne were the code names of the theme that the USA Today sports website runs. So the original version was Fishburne, and then when they redid it, it was called Lawrence. So that's the only reason, pretty much, why I know that it's Lawrence Fishburne.
Are there any Easter eggs in there?
Maybe in the code, but not if you go to the website, I don't think.
I love weird naming things like that.
Yeah. I don't know why they doubled down and just didn't come up with something else other than lack of creativity. So second thing, it's not steampunk.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was thinking, but you are not wrong.
Okay.
A pince-nez is a type of spectacles that just rests on your nose. Usually it pince means pinch and nez means nose. So it's pince-nez. So it pinches your nose. And there's different types of pince-nez.
Oh, so does French.
Yeah. There's different types of pince-nez. They were popular in the 19th and 20th centuries, which is the reason why it overlaps with the steampunk thing, because that's also generally the time frame where steampunky things kind of
famously
thematically it fits into steampunk,
like with like weird hats and like, okay.
Yeah, I mean it is, but it's not like a steampunk specific.
Yeah.
That actually,
I just
that's famously
like Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt has a pince-nez. Like, it's not like
Well, famed time traveler Teddy Roosevelt. Yes,
famed time traveler. Also, if you go to the Wikipedia page, it's got a picture of Anton Chekhov, who also has a pince nez. And sometimes they have a little, like a ring down here that has a chain attached, and you can attach the chain to your jacket. So if it does fall off your face, then it just dangles from the chain, or you could take it off and then not lose it. So you put it in your pocket or something. There were several different types of pince nez. There were the kind that had a rivet in the middle, and it's sort of like adjusted up and down. So you just sort of like, and then there is a kind that had, that sort of had like this spring action thing over the top, and then held the two sides separately. And so they like, it was the spring on the top that kind of held them together. There was an estig, which was supposed to help with astigmatism. Which had, it held, the tension was in like the little nose guard things. And then there is one that was popularized in America called the Fitzhugh, which had these little knobs in the front where you could like sort of open and close it a little bit. And then it would just kind of, you do that and you go, and then it would fit on your nose.
Oh, so what's... Okay.
And then there is there's also the Oxford spectacles, which are sort of categorized as a separate thing, but really they're just like more like the Seabridge, which is the one that has the thing that goes over the top because it's sort of made the same.
Oh.
So famously, 19th, 20th century was before humanity evolved to have ears, which is why Bluetooth is such a new invention, obviously.
The reason why I know about pince nez is because the Critical Role team is not recording new shows anymore. They're not recording the campaign anymore, the D&D campaign. So instead, they're trying to find other things, content, and they started doing this thing called narrative telephone, where one person tells a story, like maybe like a 200-word, 500-word story, and then they play telephone. So the person does the story, and then the next person, and so it records it, and then it passes on to the next person, who then records their version of the story, trying to get all the details or whatever. They record it, they send it on to the next person, and so on and so on and so on. And so the story sort of degenerates. And one of the stories was about somebody who had a pince nez.
I don't even know if...
Which then, by the end of the telephone game, became a Putnam.
That's so bizarre.
Because only one person group, and it was the person who wrote the story, only one person in the entire group knew what a pince nez was.
My first, hearing it out loud, my first thing was like a clothespin was what I was thinking of, because I was like, oh, it's like pinch, like I was just, my rudimentary.
It's your Canadian coming out, there it is. Canadian.
Can we just talk about how red her hair is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You like your hair? What do you say?
I'm gonna hide my face in your
Also, is that like an upside down headband situation?
Oh yeah.
Because hey, I'm kind of digging that. I'm like, why don't I do it like that?
So now that you broke the game, I guess you get too early.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I was just gonna say, I love that I thought it was steampunk just because it was like associated with like monocles and top hats and like other mechanical things.
Yes, yes. As if those things didn't actually exist in history and only exist in steampunk fiction. Yeah.
You know. I guess I just never really didn't really ever look into it.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool. I thought it was a pretty cool topic.
Do you think you get a lot of fingerprints on your lenses with those?
Not if you're wearing them correctly. I mean, I think that you could, but like the idea is that you're doing, like you're holding it from these other things around it.
I wonder why people don't wear them anymore.
I don't know. Like I imagine that something that rests on your nose and ears, and the weight of the things supported on those different things is probably more comfortable than something that's pinching your nose all day.
Yeah.
But
how about get a clothespin and just put it right here? Just to
it
see.
did imply that some of them were significantly more comfortable and therefore more popular than others. And it did imply again,
like,
to
they're wearing wooden teeth and like
that's true. Yeah. it also implied too that some of them were helpful in correcting or correcting for astigmatisms based on like the way that they were. Like they fit on your nose, or the way that you can like rotate the lenses. So I mean, they seem like a pretty decent invention.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put these things on the side, and
yeah, the thing on the side to like catch them when they fall seems crucial to me.
Yeah, it's pretty. That was pretty.
I feel like I would want that like attached to some kind of body piercing, like my ear or like nose or something. Like I feel like that would be. Well, yeah, so like they fall off your nose and then they just dangle there and you pick them back up. That seems like a current reincarnation.
Probably. Sure. It's very hard to hold a conversation with you.
Yeah, Gary, I mean, Gary, you can
today
have
it's very hard to hold a conversation with me and I have no facial piercings or anything dangling off my face.
You can't help that you're just the center of gravity right now for everyone wanting.
It's fine. It's fine. Oh, you brought the iPad in. Great. How did you get that?
It's like, I know time has passed, but she's still a baby in my mind.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, she's walking. I'm like, yes, Allison, that's what happens.
That's what happens when time
walking,
happens.
Climbing.
Yeah.
Unless actually she's a time traveler.
Are you a time traveler, Charlotte? Charlotte, are you a time traveler? Yeah. She said, yep.
Yep.
I was going to say, I was like, it's like a cop. They have to tell you.
Yeah. If you're a time traveler, you have to tell me.
Yep. So that's Pince-nez. Pince-nez.
Hmm.
I have a 150 some odd day streak in French now.
Wow. Your French is going to be better than me then. I've got nothing. I've got like a good food vocabulary for when the can faces the wrong way.
Do you find that that's helpful in like, well, in learning food? Oh, yes. Learning food French, that like you already recognize like the logo and the brand. Someone's facing the wrong way. You're like, oh, it's still peanut butter, even though it doesn't say it. Or
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty good. My French pronunciation is horrible. I wouldn't.
Well, my French pronunciation is horrible too. And Duolingo doesn't do very much to correct that.
Yeah. What was that? 2 years ago, I took like an introductory French course, which was really helpful. But like I didn't keep up with it, and people here aren't speaking French. It's not like a thing. So unless your kid goes to a French immersion school. So I've overheard some families in the neighborhood speaking French, but.
I'm sorry, you said a French what school?
Immersion. Oh, a French immersion school. So immersion. In Ontario, at least, there's a lot of, you kind of can choose a path and your kid can go to French immersion. And so then it's like, I'm not quite sure the ratio, but it might be half and half. So half their classes are taught in French and half of them are in English.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I thought you said French conversion and I thought that I was missing something culturally. I'm like, wait, I don't know what I thought. I thought it was another language, but
you are now French.
No, French immersion is where you get a bucket of water that has the word French on it, and then you shove your kid into that, and you just leave him there for 4 years.
But only the evangelicals, like the more traditionalists, are just fine sprinkling water on and calling it.
And some of the more modern ones in this particular climate, some of the more modern French immersions will use a squirt gun.
I love that photo.
Low contact.
So good.
It is really helpful though, not the squirt gun, the French immersion, because there are like Ottawa, if you go to Ottawa, most jobs require you to be bilingual. It definitely opens up your options job-wise, as well as just like, it's a good to know. Or if you ever move to Quebec.
Yeah, I don't know if I could actually say a sentence, but I mean, I don't know. It's there in my head and it's there when I'm doing Duolingo in the context of Duolingo. And so I don't know, like I never thought when I went to Italy, I was like, I forgot all my Italian. And then I ended up like knowing a lot more than I thought I did. So I feel like it probably would end up being the same if I was confronted with it at this point, but like it doesn't feel like I know anything.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm not confronted with using it at all ever. So.
Like I was like, you said peanut butter and I was like, let's see. Nope. Don't know peanut and don't know butter. So that would be bad.
Well, unless you were like comfortable eating something else.
You really have to order off the menu based on your vocabulary.
Oh. Yeah. Jeez.
We don't have any listener questions.
I was about to say, thank you all for hearing the show today, as I have been here in person, and on occasion I have even participated. Otherwise, I'm just like the big sideshow. So
we do have a contact. It wasn't exactly a listener question, but as longtime listeners of the show will know, that any email we get, we read on the air. So this is from Emily, who says, hi, smiley face. I saw that you linked to PETA.org in episode 101001, Halloween or Christmas, and I was wondering if there's anything I can do for you to get a mention like that too. I don't remember
the
context.
You just did! Congratulations! This is not the Emily I was thinking
about. I don't remember the context in which we linked to PETA, but it probably was maybe in the context of GWAR. And the GWAR, the PETA videos that GWAR did.
Nice pull. Impressive. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
So, her website is doggydesigner.com.
Doggydesigner.com.
I don't know what that is, but there's the mention. And,
D-O-G-G-Y.
D-O-G-G-I-E.
Oh, designer. Didn't get the Y. Huh.
Yeah, no, D-O-G-G-I-E.
Yeah, all right. Well, put it in your web browser, people, and... We're not responsible for the malware it tries to.
Not at all. Not responsible at all. And maybe it's just PETA videos starring members of GWAR.
How funny would it be if Emily were actually a listener and this contact came in?
Well, she should be very excited then.
I mean,
I'm calling her a spammer, but
I'm gonna say she's probably not.
No, I think that's a fair assumption. I think that's a very fair assumption. However,
when we get emails that are digging that deep into the archive, they're probably not listeners. They're probably going with like long tail content.
How funny is that? Oh, I was Googling and on page 13,402, I found that you have a link to PETA. This piques my interest.
And PETA is vaguely pet related. So it is contextual to my business. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, SEO scams still exist.
Yeah.
That's what we learned from this.
They didn't stop existing.
Oh, man.
Real listeners would always mention the Dyson Sphere.
That's true. That's true.
That's the secret password.
And frequently do. Yeah.
We had hot dogs the other night for the first time in I don't know how long, and I set it on the bun. Put mustard on it and thought about the Dyson Sphere for a minute. Like, just shut up and eat your dinner, Gary.
You know,
your family doesn't want to hear about the Dyson Sphere anymore.
I remember.
What about hot dogs?
I remember watching. Watching Mr.
Wizard. Contributor to the podcast is Charlotte today.
Yeah. I remember watching Mr. Wizard as a kid, and there was one episode where they electrocuted a hot dog to cook it.
Stop. I mean, go, but stop. I like this.
And what happens to a hot dog when it's electrocuted is it kind of turns into a Dyson Sphere. It sort of like puffs out and like bubbles in like a really weird way. So
we're going to have like dinner home. Experience with Dad.
Gary's going to try this at home now.
I wonder what kind of voltage I need to stick through this thing.
I don't know. Probably not very high. I would recommend not very high.
Because see, there's like those big old like non-conductive gloves standing in the backyard with like jumper cables and like snapping them at the end of a hot dog.
Yeah, I think what
How
they did
do you want this?
I think they stuck like metal like prongs in either end, and then they stuck like the jumper cables on both sides and connected that to like a battery or something.
I would assume it's got to be DC current, but it could be alternating.
I love that we're waiting like it's actually going to make sense to us. We're like, let's just wait for her to finish.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. We want to give all the members of the podcast equal airtime.
Yeah.
I was talking about hot dogs and she was very excited. Like, what? Where are they? Hook me up, Dad.
Sometimes that's a life lesson. Sometimes you just talk about hot dogs, but there aren't actually any hot dogs.
Yeah, that's true.
Jeez. I've got that tattooed on my arm, actually.
Just a pun. it's a whole sleeve.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in old English lettering, so it's really, I don't know, something.
Really, there's something. A pince nez involved somewhere.
Yeah, there could be a cartoon hot dog wearing a pince
nez. I was gonna say the Planters peanut guy has a pince nez, but no, he has a monocle.
Yes. Yeah. If you I'm just going somewhere dumb. I'm stopping.
Okay.
Actually, I think my internet froze.
No.
Did I lose you?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Of all the times for it to freeze, it would have been welcome right then.
You were just sitting stunned and waiting.
Just waiting for the content.
Oh, it was so bad. I was thinking about, like, if you were blind in one eye, like, could you get a discount on a pince nez and then, like, sell the other lens? I don't, not, like I said, I'm not sure.
Just get a monocle then.
Yeah, just get a monocle.
Yeah, but I feel like,
but monocles don't hold in place. Some kind of HSA
scam you could run in the U.S. because medical stuff is stupid here. It, again, my ridiculous worldview, based on where I was born, has screwed up everything.
Is there a different name for when the monocle has, like, a little stick on it? Do you know what I mean? Like, when...
I do know what you mean.
It's just, like, reading glasses, but they're, like, it's, like, usually, like, older ladies.
I did not do research on monocles.
It's the one gap in our optometrist lesson.
However, monocles are linked from the pince nez Wikipedia.
Dude, quit it. We're
under attack.
These people live here.
No, it looks like they're probably just still called monocles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the French word for hand?
Hand? Mon?
I have no idea.
Mon?
I think.
So mon to monocle sounds about right to me.
Right.
I was really trying to time this so that when I said that, the episode would be over.
It is, however, a pince nez with a little stick is called a lorgnette.
Oh, I used to watch that cartoon when I was a kid.
It's a pair of spectacles with a handle. You used to hold them in place. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.